Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you guess who this person is? This person has the world record for the most valuable and expensive tooth. And it's just an ordinary tooth, mind you. In 2002, it was valued at over $35,000. Albert Einstein had a picture of this person up on the wall in his study alongside the other people that he looked up to. At the turn of the millennium, this person was ranked the second best physicist behind Albert Einstein. Other polls had him in the number one spot. Who is this person? It's none other than Sir Isaac Newton, the famous mathematician, astronomer, and physicist. One of his claims to fame, though, is his work on gravity, which produced this famous saying that I'm sure that you all know. It goes something like this. What goes up must come back down. And in our Acts reading this morning, we'll see how this observation and saying is quite true. The book of Acts is the sequel to the Gospel of Luke, and in this book, Luke continues the story of Jesus and the church with our Lord's ascension. Before Jesus went back up into heaven, he appeared to his disciples and other believers over the course of 40 days, and he taught them about the kingdom of God. He appeared on Easter morning to the woman at the tomb. Later that day, he appeared to two disciples as they were on their way to Emmaus. Later that evening, he appeared to a group of his disciples in a locked room. A week later, he appeared again. John the Apostle records one time how Jesus appeared to them while they were fishing. Paul the Apostle says that at one time, Christ appeared to 500 believers at once. These disciples and other believers were witnesses of our Lord's life, ministry, death, resurrection, and these post-resurrection appearances. They had seen and heard the risen Lord. And at the end of these 40 days, Jesus and his disciples are gathered together on the Mount of Olives. And as they're gathered together, his disciples ask him one last question. They ask, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Poor Jesus. You have to feel bad when he gets asked a question like this, this late into the game. It would be like a basketball player asking their coach at the last game of the season, in the last half, at the last play, how do I play this game? What's offsides? What's traveling? What are the rules? At this point, the disciples should have known better. But they didn't. They're still struggling with understanding that the Messiah came to establish a spiritual kingdom rather than a physical one. Jesus once said, the kingdom of God is within you. His kingdom is a spiritual one. It's where Christ rules and reigns in the heart of a believer. So Jesus answers their question with some vagueness and redirects their focus. He says, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father is fixed by his own authority. Jesus tells them it's none of their business to know when they will return. Rather, they should not busy and occupy themselves with something that they don't know, but rather on something that they do. In college, I saw a great example of this. One weekend when I was going back up to school on I-94, I saw a billboard that got my attention for all of the wrong reasons. On it, this pastor had put the date of the end of the world with sort of the time. And on top of it, he put his name and the church that he served at. This man was convinced that he had the date and even the hour of when Jesus will return. And as you've seen, his prediction wasn't quite accurate. He should have stuck to what he did know and what he could focus on. Jesus does this with the disciples. He tells them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus tells the disciples to focus on the task at hand. He says they are to be his witnesses. Don't focus on the end of the world. Witnesses tell others what they have seen and what they have heard. The disciples have seen the life and ministry of the Lord. They have seen his death. They have seen his resurrection, and they are to go out into the world and to tell these things. The disciples are to tell this message in Jerusalem, which is the Jewish capital. Then they're to go to Judea, which is in southern Palestine. Then up north to the semi-Jewish Samaria, and then to the unbelieving ends of the earth. You see a nice progression of ethnicity and geography as Jesus is talking, as their disciples are to go from place to place. It's like throwing a rock into Lake Como on a really calm day. On a calm day when the water's not moving, when the rock hits the water, the impact ripples out throughout all the lake, and you can see where the rock hit that one's place in the water. That's like the gospel going out into the world. It starts in Jerusalem and trickles all the way out. And as Jesus finishes speaking with his disciples, he's taken up and from their sight. Jesus is going up, and he enters a cloud, which is the symbol of God's presence in the Old Testament. Jesus has gone up to take his place at the Father's right hand, which is a position of power. The Apostle Paul explains the importance and significance of the ascension in Ephesians chapter 1. He writes, "Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." That's quite a bit to take in at once. The ascension is no small thing or footnote in the life of Jesus. In his ascension, our Lord has been seated high above everything, everyone, every power. We do not need to fear these things, nor anything, for he has power over all and is truly in control. All of this is done for the benefit of his church, his body, and his bride. And as the one who rules over all things, he does what is best for his church and for Christians. Luke tells us that Jesus has gone up. And he's gone up to the Father and is seated at the right hand. Let's quick review Newton's saying before we continue. Remember what he said? He said, "What goes up must come down." And we see that that is the message of the angels. The angels come to the gazing disciples. They tell them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." What goes up must come back down. Jesus will come again in power and glory and majesty, but we don't know when that will be. So what are we to do in the meantime as we wait for our Lord's second coming? What did the disciples do? The disciples listened to the Lord and waited until Pentecost. Once the Holy Spirit fell upon them in an extraordinary way, they were his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, as his forgiven and redeemed people who have received his Spirit in baptism. We have the same calling and task. We too are to witness about the grace that has been given to us, the love that has been lavished upon us, and the hope that has been handed to us in Christ. When we are given good and exciting news in our lives, what do you do? What do you do when you get the news that you've become a grandparent or a parent? What do you do when you get a new car or a new house or a new gadget or gizmo? Or what do you do when you get to go on vacation or to a Twins game? You tell other people this fun and exciting news, right? You can't keep it in, but you proclaim it. The news that Christ has died for us to give us salvation is the greatest news that we've ever been given. Can we truly keep that inside? Can we keep it a secret? No, of course not. We cannot help but tell others about Christ through our lives, through our words, and through our deeds. And as we witness, we see that we live our lives under the ascended Lord. This Lord is truly in control of all powers, people, and principalities. He rules and reigns and does what is best for his people and the church. And since he has gone up, he is going to come back. And his return is a good thing for Christians. It means we're going home, that death and the devil have been defeated. It means we will enjoy a new heaven with a new earth, with new bodies. It means there will be no sadness, no sin, no sickness. And through faith in our Savior, we are ready and safe for his return. What goes up must come back down. In his name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in the ascended Lord. Amen.